Hello, and welcome to this episode of Interview with an MVP. My name is Clint Wyckoff. Today I'm joined by Crystal Kogula, as well as Dave Kogula and Alan Rafuse, all of which are MVPs. Today we're here to talk about the subject of Virtual Machine Manager, otherwise known as VMM. VMM, Crystal, is a component of the System Center stack.
Okay.
System Center is a suite of products.
So
we're going to switch over to those guys now.
So that was an example of what happens when somebody reads a slide deck to you. And that is why you tune into Interview with an MVP, because you know what? We are raw. We are uncut, uncensored, unedited in every one of our episodes.
And like I said, I'm the host of Interview with an MVP because this time I'm behind the TriCaster controlling. So as I mentioned, I'm kidding, everybody. Seriously, so we've provided you with, you know, a lot of great information about Hyper-V. Today we're going to talk about VMM.
Yes, and so Alan, you had a chance to work for a large international hosting firm that's, you know, set up Microsoft cloud environments, you know, all over the U.S. and kind of had customers from all over the world.
Yes.
Why was VMM an important component of, you know, the Hyper-V stack?
Well, the Hyper-V stack provides virtualization. But if you want any of the data center functionality and control, that's when you would use Virtual Machine Manager.
And what type of special functionality would you get that you wouldn't natively be able to get in a traditional deployment?
Well, in today's age, we have Windows Azure Stack,
yep,
which is not fully out there. So what they have, which you can use, is Windows Azure Pack. So that plugs into VMM. You can get MVGRE,
what
Network Virtualization.
What the heck is that?
Which we'll cover in one of our later topics.
Yep. In this topic, actually. We'll go through it.
We'll go through it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did the video, so I know what's up.
And then we've got templates.
Yes. And so why are templates important to us?
Well, we can have a standard copy of a virtual machine, if you will, that's been set up, sysprepped, and we can just kick it on out every time we need that same IIS web server,
yep,
the same SQL server, same Active Directory controller. We can just... So basically copy, paste, and turn on the machine.
So a template is more than just having a sysprepped kind of image that we can deploy. You can actually have functional components that get,
yes,
deployed as, you know, logical deployments inside,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, Clint, Crystal, what do you say we take a look at this stuff?
Let's jump into it, Crystal. What do you think?
Sounds good to me. Let's go.
All right, welcome everybody to our Hyper-V and System Center operational training. This is going to be our seventh session that we've now done in this series. And the goal of this series is to bring you and your staff up to an operational level with Hyper-V and System Center, giving you the comfort and experience to support this in production on your own. My name is Dave Kogula. I'm a Microsoft MVP, industry MVP with Veeam and a few others. My partner in this training, Clint Wyckoff, couldn't join us today, so I will be taking the session on my own. But he is my esteemed colleague, also Microsoft MVP and VMware vExpert. So he's been able to shed some light for those of you that are migrating over from VMware to Hyper-V. And so both of us are widely known in the Microsoft community. We're both cloud and data center MVPs, but both of us specialize in Hyper-V. Between the two of us, we probably represent about 20% of the Hyper-V MVPs in North America. So just a little bit about ourselves. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter. This is where we have all of our updates. In fact, even this morning, I'm posting updates to my big demo build script that I'm taking and currently working on right now. Best way to get in touch with us. Clint's at Clint Wyckoff. I'm at Dave Kogula. Okay, so for today's session, what we're going to be focusing on today is extending what we've already been learning in regards to our core Hyper-V foundational suite. So what we're going to do today is we're going to deploy our System Center Virtual Machine Manager infrastructure to now manage the underlying components that we've set up. So always before I train the management console as a way of taking and working with Hyper-V, I always like to start at the grassroots foundational levels. So for example, what have we learned so far? We've learned that, okay, we've got a piece of hardware, we've got a box, a bare metal hypervisor. This bare metal hypervisor is going to take and it's going to have a couple of network adapters installed inside of it. These network adapters need to be joined in what are called a team, right? So we have our prod team that we have taken and we have built, and you're going to see this all inside of the VMM infrastructure, okay? So we have what's called an LBFO team, or Microsoft Windows team, LBFO, and that is what we have at this layer. So we take that bare metal hardware, these two cables here are going to plug into the physical switch infrastructure that we have, and we can actually get some network connectivity, slice and dice some VLANs. After that, we have to take and we have to layer on top our Hyper-V virtual switches. We've now deployed our core Windows role, which is kind of that additional component. Hyper-V is not kind of really a role, but it is the way that you install it. It kind of changes the way that the bare metal parent partition behaves, but we will have deployed Hyper-V automatically on these systems, okay? And so Hyper-V has been deployed, and failover clustering has also been deployed. And so that's the only two real core components that we have to deal with from a Hyper-V perspective. Once Hyper-V has been deployed, then we can deploy our teaming interfaces. Then we can take and we can start layering on the Hyper-V networking stack. This is where we'll take and we'll build our virtual switch out. So we have our virtual switch 01. This allows this hypervisor to now communicate with the external network, right? Now, on top of that, we want to carve this out and slice and dice this with a few different VLANs. So what we've done is we've created a series of what are called virtual adapters. The virtual adapters are for your respective VLANs. So for example, we have our VLAN number 5, number 6, VLAN 5 maybe for your live migration network. VLAN number 6 might be for VLAN number 6 might be for our cluster traffic. And then we might have another interface on those Hyper-V servers that could be for our management interface. And so this is all done. This is set up. We've actually built this out in tandem. We've built out pairs of Hyper-V servers. We built this out in a virtual environment. We stood up a highly available Hyper-V cluster. We proved that functionality like live migration was working. We saw that communication was working across these segmented networks. And we have the core understanding that's required to manage Hyper-V at a grassroots level. And so now we want to start taking a look at some of the extended features and functionality. We want to wrap everything that we've done here into a management console and a management UI. So we have an existing Hyper-V cluster. Yes, check. We have some existing hosts. Yes, check. But now we want to start getting into some advanced features and functionality that System Center Virtual Machine Manager is going to bring to the table for us. And a couple of the things in my mind that this brings is System Center Virtual Machine Manager gives us the ability to create what are called private clouds. And so these private clouds can take and can carve out your environments. Maybe you have a dev or a test environment or pre-production, or maybe you've merged with another company and you want to take and you want to isolate, fence off, silo out the Hyper-V infrastructure. You want to run two sets of companies on the same gear. We can build this now with System Center Virtual Machine Manager. That is not a core set of functionality that is provided by Hyper-V or the native management tools or the native management UI. The other things that we can have is, let's say that we want to have some constrained and delegated role-based authentication. So we want to configure some role-based authentication. We've got some junior administrators that are working with us in our teams, and we want to give them the ability to start a virtual machine. but we don't want to give them ability to stop a virtual machine, or even worse, delete a virtual machine. We can now carve this out in role-based configurations. So we're going to give them ability to start, but we're not going to give the ability to delete VMs. Now, in order for us to get to this and layer this, add this abstraction layer with System Center Virtual Machine Manager, you do have to have a couple prerequisite components in your environment before you can proceed on with the installer. The very first one is you need to have availability for a SQL Server. Now, depending on which version of System Center VMM you're working with, I have a couple customers that are going to be listening into the call that are going to be interested in working with today's release, which is 2012 R2. This one's been around for a little while, and if you do go with this one, what you really have to watch on is you have to watch that you get all of the latest what are called CUs or cumulative updates, which are all the patches for System Center Virtual Machine Manager. System Center Virtual Machine Manager was the back end of an interface that Microsoft provided that would give hosters, cloud providers, corporations the ability to provide an Azure-like experience prior to Microsoft Azure Stack. This was called Windows Azure Pack or WAP. The WAP interfaces was the web interface that you would get in for managing all of your infrastructure. It was taken in, it would connect in through all of the APIs that were provided from System Center Virtual Machine Manager. Okay? And then underlying VMM would take care of managing all of your infrastructure. Now, I think all of you that are on the call that are in taking our training today, this piece of functionality is something that you're probably never going to need. It's just something that's there. It's available. Microsoft's built it. VMM can support all this advanced functionality for multiple clouds, tenant-based configurations, and all these things. Realistically, you're probably going to be using it at minimal type configuration. And we can get into lots of different sessions around, you know, the other things that we can do inside of here. For our demo today, what we're going to be doing is we're actually going to be deploying SQL Server 2016, which I have actually pre-installed on our management server. The only thing that we've got left, because I just didn't want to wait for the SQL Server install to go. So guys, pretty much this was a next finish. I just went next finished, enabled the SQL Server agent, enabled the SQL Server browser, and took and set the services to start and added my domain administrator account as an administrator for SQL Server. That's all I had to do. It was a glorified next finish of SQL. There was nothing special. VMM does create a database when it goes through and it builds this. So we'll show you that process. So we're going to go through a full install today of System Center Virtual Machine Manager. In order to do that, we have to install a couple components off of the automated deployment kit, which I've already pre-downloaded because it does take a little while. This is about a 4 or 5 gig download. So you want to make sure you pre-download some of these components, which I've done. We'll deploy the management console and the server components themselves, and we'll go through this all hot and live in a nice little demo. So that's what we're going to be covering in this morning's session. I'm going to try to stick to our 1 hour time slot that we've got to get this done. And for those of you that weren't available to come to the video live, we will be recording these, and I'm actually looking at setting up these videos in some kind of learning on demand system where I can throw some, you know, knowledge checks, some Q&As or something like that. That might come a little bit later on. I've got to get all the content built for this first. All right, so let's get to it. I just realized that I had pressed the recording button. I was worried I didn't press the recording button, and I had just done all of that talking for nothing. That's okay though. You guys are learning something though. Okay, so let's take a look back at our environment here. This is the same environment that we've been working with. What we've got here is I have built, if you guys remember from yesterday's sessions, we have a Hyper-V cluster that's already built. This Hyper-V cluster is built in a nested configuration in Windows Server 2016, but it gives me a 4-node functional Hyper-V cluster. And I have some hyper-converged infrastructure inside of there that we can leverage for storage space. Now, I do have a couple of additional Hyper-V nodes that we'll add into VMM so you can see what a standalone node works like. So these guys here are just standalone Hyper-V servers, right? And so we're going to take and use these. Now, the only thing that's going to be a little bit different is if you take a look at my server, I was taking and I was just testing some stuff out for the demos yesterday. So I did create a few checkpoints in here. I created a checkpoint pre-SQL, post-SQL, and post-VMM. The post-VMM snapshot for me, when I was in here, I actually had to deploy the VMM agent. It is an agent that does need to get deployed, and you need admin credentials on these boxes to deploy it. And so I've already deployed the agent to all of these. So the only thing that would be different for your environments that you'll be working with is I'm going to have to click a button that says reassociate the host, because this is actually going to be treated as a completely new separate VMM install. Those agents aren't going to know how to link up with this new management console that we have. So let's go jump into our management console here. And inside of our management console, and you'll notice once again, look at how nice this pops up full screen for me. So pop quiz for you guys. What is allowing me to actually go full screen, almost like in an RDP type window for my console connection? So if you guys want, while I'm taking and going through, you can try to remember that. I got a few new people on the call. This was a new feature in Windows Server 2016. It was called Enhanced Session Mode. And I want you to remember that what this gives me is this gives me a copy and paste functionality to my VMs. Very, very cool, guys. All right? Okay, so I know that some of you weren't on the sessions yesterday, but that's just a quick little reminder for you that is what that's going to allow us to do. So this particular management server that we've got is just a shell virtual machine. The shell virtual machine that we have simply just has a couple drives. Now, when you build this in production in your environments, you're going to want to silo off your C drive and your D drive, maybe have an E drive in there as a couple additional partitions. My plan is to just leave the core operating system, and I do this for all my builds. C drive, right here, guys, is for core OS only. All right, never install anything on your C drive. Always have separate partitions for everything that it is that you're going to do. So you could have carve this up. We know how to expand and shrink these things out on the fly from the previous videos. All right, so take a look at what we've got here. I've got my System Center Virtual Machine Manager bits here. So this is just the actual ISO. Now this actually just dropped. This is actually the RTM version of System Center 2016. Virtual Machine Manager. These bits actually just dropped earlier this week post the Microsoft Ignite conference. So if you take a look at the creation date here, take a look at this. This executable that we're going to use to launch this was actually built on September 15th. So this is the most current and latest and greatest version that you guys are looking at. Now what we're going to do is I'm just going to launch the installer, and I'm going to show you the error that you get if you don't have your automated deployment kit installed, which I do have pre-installed and pre-downloaded here. So I've got all of the bits pre-downloaded for this. When you run the ADK installer, it gives you an option to download all of the files. And so that's all I've chosen, just so I can show you what the installation experience looks like, and we don't have to wait 2 hours for a progress bar to complete. All right, so let's kick this off. Only other requirement that you have for VMM, guys, is you need to have a service account. So I have pre-created a service account called SVC_SCVMM. And for purposes of the lab, I've given this domain admin rights. You can take and constrain that down to just doing local admin rights on your Hyper-V servers. I was too lazy to do that. But this account does need to have access, local admin access, to this box here that we're on, as well as any of the underlying Hyper-V servers that you're trying to manage, all right? So just make sure that we give that the admin rights that it needs in order to proceed. That's the only real thing that I've done as a prerequisite for this installation. The VMM management console can be installed as a standalone. You do not need to log into the actual management server itself. You can take and you can log into Jumpbox, a terminal server, anything like that, and it will work without any issues. Okay, so that's the local install, so the VM console. So you'd take the same bits and you simply just choose VM console, and then you take and you'd make sure that you put this on whatever jump box you have. Take a look here that we've got some requirements for SQL Server Database and Windows Assessment and Deployment Kit, ADK. and you can view all of the prerequisite requirements here. And the reason you need that is because you can actually do some bare metal installations with VMM, although we don't typically use that. You can download these bits, and you will get a 180-day trial, so you don't need a key. So if you're just looking to check this out in your environment and worried about, you know, paying for your VMM infrastructure, you do get a 180-day trial. Click Next. I always say on for the recommended updates. Change the installation path to your D drive. Remember, never install anything on your C drive. Now this is where it's going to bomb. It's going to say, oh, sorry, you actually need the ADK installed. So if you forgot to pre-download this or you don't know where to get it, you can just click this link and it'll actually take you out to the download site. It'll download like a little 2 meg file, and inside of there, there's a downloader program that's included within. You've got to let that go ahead and download ahead of time. So just make sure you plan accordingly when you're going to be doing your install. So I need to go jump out to my ADK folder here, come into my ADK setup. When you do your ADK setup, you're only going to take and need, once again, change the folder. You're only going to need a couple components. You don't need to install the whole thing. So I want to show you what it tries to do by default. We definitely don't need everything. So first thing you're going to do is go uncheck everything, okay, guys? Because we don't need SQL Express on a box that I've already got SQL Server on. You're going to need the deployment tools, okay? So that's going to be number one. And you're going to need the, which ones did you need here? I think you're going to need the Windows PE environment. I'm pretty sure those are the two that we're going to need. 99% sure those are the two that we'll need. It needs about 3.4 gigs in disk space, which looks right for what we've got. You don't need the image configuration designer or user state migration tool. All right, go ahead and click Next. If I did this wrong, it will tell us. So we'll go ahead and we'll let that install. Now, when we take a look at Virtual Machine Manager, Virtual Machine Manager is typically sold now not as a standalone product. It's actually part of the System Center suite. So when you take a look at the licensing for this, if you're running a Hyper-V host and your Hyper-V host has Data Center Edition on it, because there are only two editions of Windows Server now. There's Standard and there's Data Center. And so the price point on this is about, I think it's about like $1,200 for the standard, and it's about like $3,000 for the data center. But what it covers is it covers all your VMs underneath. So you can run VMM, you can run System Center Operations Manager, you can take and you can run System Center Configuration Manager. You get the entire System Center suite, guys, everything that comes for that one fixed low price. So this is why I wanted to show you what that looks like, because I actually have some of my customers that are going to be listening into this. They are site licensed for everything in their data center already for System Center. You have already prepaid for all these components. One of the other big ones that comes inside of here is a product called Data Protection Manager, or DPM. That is the backup tool that comes with the System Center suite to back all this up. DPM actually includes hooks to go natively out to Microsoft Azure. So if you wanted to have Azure, DPM and VMM include hooks with Azure with automated functionality for Azure Site Recovery, Azure Backup, and all of those components. That DPM server and that infrastructure might be something that you've already paid for. Now, I'm a Veeam guy. I don't typically do a lot of work with DPM myself, but it is something that I know that a lot of you are looking for, because you're looking at a way of cutting costs and you're looking at a way of getting the most efficient infrastructure you can without having to break the bank. This is stuff, guys, that you may or may not already own. And if you do own it, highly recommend checking it out. If not, the trial is available for you guys and you can check it out via the trial. The nice thing about VMM is it gives us a single pane of glass for all of our virtual infrastructure. No more opening up 5,000 different Hyper-V managers all across the board. All right, so now that that's installed, let's come back in here, check our prerequisites again. I just didn't install the SQL command line utilities, guys, but this actually doesn't preclude us from going and doing the installation. So I can actually click Next and just put that on afterwards. So that is what I'm going to do. Go ahead and click Next. The server name itself, management, is this server. So this is this virtual machine. We can specify a custom port if we want, or we can use the default. we have to create what's called the Virtual Machine Manager DB. So this is the name of the Virtual Machine Manager database. It is called Virtual Machine Manager or Virtual Manager DB. Okay, you can pre-create the database if you need to, depending on what type of environment you're in. For all intents and purposes, complicates things for me. In order to create the database, typically you need to have sysadmin rights on your SQL server so that you have the create capabilities in SQL. And if not, you're going to need DB owner rights to whatever account you're installing with. Now, my account does have full domain administrative privileges. I can see that I can browse. My Microsoft SQL server is actually showing up in here for the database server that we've got installed on. Go ahead and click next. This is where I'll type in the credentials for that account that we've created, the SVC, SCVMM. And so MVP days, SVC underscore SVC, System Center VMM, my ultra top secret password. All right, these are your default ports. When you're doing your installation, this is a good time to take a screenshot for you. Your connection port that you're going to connect to by default with Virtual Machine Manager is port number 8100. Communication to the libraries, 5985. File transfers, over 443. Windows deployment services, if you were doing bare metal provisioning, these are the ports that you're going to run, 8101, 02, and 03. We don't typically do a lot of stuff here because I've shown ways of using the light touch deployment methodology for building the servers, and I find that, you know, getting a server build down to as few as one page or less and then just joining it to the environment, sometimes that's good enough. This is more applicable if you're a cloud provider and just deploying, you know, hosts every single day. I had a really good conversation with one of my clients, and they said, listen, we built 30 VMware hosts, and, you know, we haven't built any in years. We don't have to rebuild these things every single day. So, you know, the effort that you go through to maintain this automated deployment mechanism just might not be worth it for the size of environments that you go through. Plus, depending on what type of hyperconverged setup you have, you may be getting WIM files that are pre-building all this stuff for you. So go ahead and click next. This is the actual library share for VMM. Guys, make sure you change the path here, okay? So we're going to change this to our D drive. And we're going to take and create a new folder here, and we're going to call this VMM library. Okay, make sure that doesn't store in C drive, because this path for your library, this concept of a library in Virtual Machine Manager, this is a spot for all of our templates. So if we've got all of our templates that we create, we've got all of our ISO files, we've got all of our parked VHDX files. Okay, so this is all of our data at rest is going to actually live inside of this library. A good idea, depending on where you're going to put this library, because a lot of this is just VHD templates, is you might want to consider putting this on a volume and enabling dedupe on it, because there's nothing running live on there. All right, because then you're going to take and you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck in doing that. And dedupe is fully supported on data at rest like that. Okay, so we can take and we can see our installation summary here. Go ahead and click install. And this just takes a couple seconds to actually go through the installation. So I don't know if anybody that's on the call here today is actually using Virtual Machine Manager today, but the comparison that we have for Virtual Machine Manager to VMware is this is as close as we can offer you from Microsoft's perspective, a native UI to vCenter. Now, I'm going to tell you, being a VMware guy myself, is vCenter has, in my opinion, a little better and easier to use UI. It's just something that, you know, it seems a little friendlier to work through. But we're not at a point where we're worrying about features and functionality. Decisions have already been made in your organization to migrate away from VMware. So this is going to be your management UI and console. I do have an alternative to this that some customers look at. There is a company called Five9 Software. And Five9 Software actually makes a competitive product to Virtual Machine Manager. This is typically used for like smaller environments, SMB to, you know, mid-size environments where, you know, you may not need all of that additional functionality from VMM, and you want your user interface, your UI, to look just like vCenter. So what they've done is they've actually modeled their product after what vCenter looks like. So it's almost like a vCenter to Hyper-V migration. Not VMware to Hyper-V, but vCenter to Hyper-V. So instead of having to go to System Center Virtual Machine Manager where everything looks a little different, their tabs and dropdowns and looks and feels and all of that that they have are there. So if you have some budget and you're looking for an easy transition for your VMware admins, this seems to really ease the pain a lot in looking at this alternative UI. So I've got good news for you. We're actually going to take a look at the 5.9 user interface as we go through a third-party product session, specific session that's driven around this. We're going to focus on all the native stuff first, but this may ease some of your pain in moving over to Hyper-V as looking at something along those lines. So what we'll do here is we've got a few minutes while I'm waiting for a progress bar to go. So you guys have me for the full hour. We've got a half an hour. If you guys have any questions at all, you guys can feel free to unmute your mics. We can have a bit of a dialogue here about, you know, the use case, features, functionality, anything like that. We had some really good sessions. Carl was on from down in Arizona yesterday, one of my clients from down in that neck of the woods. And we had some really good dialogues about things that he was just looking at, thinking about trying. He was talking about some of his experience with, you know, running Linux VMs and changing integration services. So if you guys have any questions, let's try to make this a bit interactive as we take and we go through this. See, we've got a few of you that are on the call. And if you guys don't feel comfortable jumping on the call, you guys can always use the chat window here, because at this point in time, while we have a dead air with a progress bar just me waiting for 5 minutes, we turn this into a talk show radio. So callers, the lines are open. I'm trying to see if I get any of you to bite on this. Don't be shy.
I'll bite.
All right.
Of the people who are actually using Hyper-V right now. Which management tools are you using? Are you using the MMCs, VMM, 5.9?
So we're gonna take and make sure that I should probably stop the recording for this one here, just in case anybody from Microsoft ever listens to this. I'm gonna be perfectly brutally honest with everybody. I've never really been a huge fan of VMM in its earlier iterations because I found that it was incredibly buggy. And so basically I found myself always having to go back to the underlying infrastructure, failover cluster manager, Hyper-V manager, to actually go see what was really going on, because VMM would hang up and it would get stuck and I couldn't do what I needed to do. But if I went to the actual VM and failover clustering, I could still get to the console. I could still jump on there. It's just like it went berserk and lost communication. So this is always the challenge that you have with adding this additional management layer, because VMM, Carl, as you know, is driven by Microsoft SQL Server. So if something corrupts in one of those tables and the VMs aren't showing up properly, it doesn't understand or know any difference. It's going to show you what it's going to show you, right? Or if it has a job hung up, all of a sudden you can't connect to it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So for years, I would actually lean away from VMM. Now, VMM 2016 add some really cool functionality, though, that I'm kind of interested in, because a lot of my customers are starting to look at building and bridging hybrid environments to Azure, and specifically the Azure Site Recovery, the InMoj acquisition, being able to take and use those Azure agents and have those integrated inside of VMM. That's pretty cool for me. The use cases of building this out as, you know, private clouds and stuff like that for the size of customers that I've worked with, yeah, not really so much. The people that were really using that, like I had my brother-in-law Alan, who was a cloud administrator for a few years at a large hoster called Hostway, and they were actually building a Microsoft Hyper-V cloud offering to their customers, where they would have shared infrastructure and you were a tenant and you came and shared that space, and they would slice and dice stuff out in different clouds, so you came in as a as a customer, you got your cloud infrastructure, and VMM was actually what was driving all of that stuff in behind the scenes. So for somebody like that, yeah, absolutely, they need it. That's the only way to actually do it. The native tools don't work for that. You're stuck with using VMM. That's the only place the APIs are exposed. For you guys to do your day jobs, do you actually need VMM? Well, how many host servers do you have? Do you, like, if you only have a half dozen host servers, you know, jumping into the different consoles actually isn't that big of a deal. The only thing that I really like about VMM or, you know, Five9 Manager and these other tools is I really like the fact that they give me a single pane of glass. Instead of me having like a Hyper-V manager where I can see all of my Hyper-V hosts just in a tree view and I have to click on each of them individually, I don't ever really get a single roll-up of all my VMs. I can't really see all my VMs and I don't really get any good statistical reporting and stuff like that. And so that's where this stuff comes in, because now I can get a view of all of my VMs that are all put together. My preference that I have is I personally like Five9 Manager better than VMM, because it actually adds capabilities for me to take and do host-level antivirus built right into the product. And that's one of the things I like. I can't do that in VMM. However, that being said, Carl, Windows Server 2016, so our 2016 release, does come with Windows Defender built in, which is basically, if you take a look at the UI, it's basically System Center Endpoint Protection that comes built in. And that product actually automatically has all of the exclusions for all of the workloads that you're going to be running. So it knows that if it's a Hyper-V server, it's excluding all of those files automatically. So it's not going to take and torch any of the data that you've got. And so Microsoft has given away now free antivirus on all of your host servers and all your infrastructure. So now the value proposition of something like this is starting to slide away. However, not everybody's on Windows Server 2016. So if you're still on 2012 R2, so if this is still 2012 R2, then Five9 Manager is still my choice. Like we had this conversation yesterday, Carl, we're trying to figure out how these vendors are competing against Microsoft. And as Microsoft starts to add more and more and more features, well, these vendors better be keeping up and adding even more, because I'm actually paying money over here and this over here is free. So I'm starting to really reevaluate what free is giving me from Microsoft, because it's starting to look pretty good.
The antivirus in 2016, that's the host partition. It doesn't actually scan in the guest OSs, does it?
It does not, but if you have 2016 VMs, then you're taken care of, right? So the traditional Microsoft story is, you know, upgrade everything now to 2016 and you'll have all of our new features. It's like group policy, right? So 2016 is going to bring out these whiz-bang group policy features. Well, you need to have everything running 2016 to use them. Great. Thank you, Microsoft, for giving me a feature that I can't use for 3 years. So do I see these guys going out of business? No, because that's a really good point. Because just because I have free over here, what I am lacking is I'm lacking all the tracking, jobs, logs, central management, a lot of these pieces. But Microsoft's answer to that piece, Carl, is Microsoft has this little guy that they've created called OMS, or the Operational Management Suite. And this is giving you all of your log rollups, all of your analytics, all of your security, all of your management. So it's basically like SCOM in the cloud. And so basically I can take these rollups from all of these Hyper-V hosts and their logs and errors and anything that they're outputting. I can dump this all up to OMS. OMS can use its data intelligence that it has, being that it's part of a giant cloud running heuristics against the millions of other people that are doing it. And it can come back with a beautiful little dashboard for me saying, hey, you know, this is good, this is bad, and it's way beyond anything that the individual vendors can have. That being said, once again, that's still a work in progress for Microsoft. So it's there, but they're still adding features and functionality kind of as they go. So once again, you know, I hope these vendors heed my warning. You better be on your A game, because if you're not on your A game, you're going to become irrelevant in the equation real fast. All right. Thanks, Carl. You're actually our first dial-in caller on the talk show today, so we'll be sending you a nice little welcome gift for being caller number one. All right, let's continue on with the demo here, guys. So we've got the virtual machine manager management server installed. We've got the console installed. So we'll go ahead and close this down. And this is what we're going to see here. You want to always make sure that you're searching for those cumulative updates, guys. System Center traditionally has not updated itself. So what you have to search for is you have to search for what are called CUs, or cumulative updates. As of right now, because this is an RTM version that I'm showing you, there are zero updates for this right now. But give this a month. That's where all the patches, hot fixes, all of that great and wonderful stuff are come from. Now, you're asking yourself, why doesn't Microsoft just update this with Windows Update? Why don't I take and just, you know, have something that we can take and have automatically update itself, right? And so the problem that you run into is that there's this little guy called SQL Server over here, and the SQL Server, depending on what the CU is doing, it might actually be making and extending updates to the tables that are living inside of SQL Server here. So if you've got updates to those tables, Microsoft traditionally doesn't want to just go jam those in. They want to give you an opportunity to back up your infrastructure, back up your SQL infrastructure before just jamming those in, because that could cause you more problems. Because just because I can roll back this VM that this is running on, that may not be a good idea. The only other thing I want to point out, guys, is this, is that when you have Hyper-V infrastructure, this is a management server, right? So I'm going to give you an example of a customer. Let's say that they've got three nodes, and they built these three nodes into a beautiful, nice little Hyper-V cluster. And they run VMs over here. And they run VMs over here. And they run VMs over here. This seemed like a good place at the time to put my virtual machine manager server. Well, what happens if, you know, there becomes an issue, these VMs are having a tough time migrating, or something catastrophic happens to this VM, or something goes down or whatever, and you try to go back into VMM and knock, 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 nobody's home, this isn't going to work. So my recommendation that I always have, if you've bought these as a new piece of kind of block infrastructure, my preference is that you stand up something on the side as a standalone kind of management Hyper-V server. These boxes can be rebooted at any point in time because they're just management, and they're going to have hooks into this infrastructure. There's nothing production that's running on here. This VMM server could go down at any point in time, and it's not going to matter. Your VMs won't go down. And this is actually traditionally where I like to run my VMM server. Now, do I always do this? No. But if I have the opportunity to have this off the cluster that I'm managing, that's always my preference, right? Because if for whatever reason the cluster panics and something goes down, I've lost my management tools and capabilities to get into here. In all honesty, who cares? Because I'm probably not using VMM to fix it. I'm probably going to fail over cluster manager anyways. But it's just kind of my little note. Just watch where you're placing that, right? It's like your Veeam server, right? I put my Veeam server or my DPM, my backup server inside of this infrastructure, and something happens inside. I can't back anything up. So a good spot for your backup server is on this management server as well, right? So this is also a good idea because now he has hooks into this environment that are kind of off the host. And yes, I am going to win the award for painting with a mouse. All right, so let's go ahead and log into this bad boy. So the actual stand-up of the VMM server and infrastructure is pretty straightforward. And I would have to say, guys, that probably 90% of the complexities around System Center Virtual Machine Manager are driven from the automation that they're going to try to have you build. VMM can actually take and handle building all of your clusters. So you remember the previous sessions that we went through where we were building the failover clusters? VMM can handle all of that automation. VMM can handle standing up that entire network stack in your Hyper-V servers. VMM can take and handle building out storage spaces direct. VMM can handle building out your scale-out file servers as part of the overall fabric that you need to manage and use Hyper-V. The problem that you run into is that you have to configure VMM appropriately to interface with your infrastructure to build that. My problem with that is if you don't have an underlying understanding of what you're building under the covers, good luck troubleshooting that, folks, okay? So this is possibly a first look for a lot of people at System Center Virtual Machine Manager. So what I'm going to do is we're going to go through just a quick little UI walkthrough as to what you're actually looking at here, okay? So when we take a look at Virtual Machine Manager, the first thing that you have to understand is this is broken up in a couple of different panes. So the main pane that you're looking at right here, so this guy right here, this is going to be where all of your worker functions, your VMs will show up. Anything that's, you know, active, live, in flight. Down below here, this is typically where we're going to see like status messages or jobs and stuff like that, okay? On the side over here, it's important that you work with VMM on a machine that has a large enough monitor, because if you try to squish this down, you're actually missing some of the floor space inside of the UI. And so how this breaks down is really simple. If you're going to be doing day-to-day VM management tasks, which is going to be probably 90% of the things that you're going to be doing, you're going to be sticking in the VM and services node, okay? So this is where you would click. You could take and you could click inside of here, and you would be able to take and you'd be able to see any of your clouds, tenants, and all of these pieces. You can see your hosts inside of here and all of these. The fabric is the underlying infrastructure. So this is what you can consider the interface between Virtual Machine Manager and your physical hardware that you're actually managing. So if you want to do stuff like adding a Hyper-V host, so you want to add a Hyper-V host server. If you want to take and if you want to add a cluster, if you want to connect and configure and manage your storage, apparently I can't spell today. If you want to manage your storage, if you want to manage your networking, all of these pieces are taken care of out of the fabric node, okay? And so this is, for all intents and purposes, kind of a one-time setup. Unless you're adding hosts every single day, you really have no business going back into fabric that much. This is kind of a one-time setup. Let's go add the stuff, get it in here so that we can actually use it. It's not something you really go into here on a daily basis. The library is where we take and is where we actually store all of our VM templates, and we store any of our gold VHDX files and stuff like that, okay? So once again, depending on what you're doing, might not be going in there all that often. Jobs, this is a daily spot, okay? Everything that happens inside a Virtual Machine Manager is job-driven and job-controlled. So if something is failing or we need to restart a job, this is where we're going to go. So the two places, number one places you go is VMs and services and jobs all the time. Settings, this is where we can define like some administrative functions underneath the covers. Once again, you're not going to be coming in there all that often. Most of the ribbon bar has pull-downs on it. So if you take a look here, we've got an option here to create a virtual machine. There's a pull-down on here. You can hit the pull-down, say create virtual machine. If you wanted to take and create separate clouds for dev, test, pre-prod, prod, and you wanted to carve this up and isolate and run some network virtualization, some of those pieces, we can do that. Can create specific virtual machine networks. These views right here are super, super handy, okay? So these views right here, if you want to see an overview of your entire environment, you can just click here and you can get a nice overview. You can see all your VMs, your services, or your networks all illustrated for you. We can take and we can configure some tenant functionality. So this, once again, more if you're into the hoster or if you're really looking at slicing and dicing things. And this guy right here is probably one of my favorite. The only problem is that this guy here, Pro, Performance Resource and Optimization, he has to interface with a System Center Operations Manager server. So for example, let's say that we've got a hardware agent for an HP server that we happen to be running. If we have a hardware agent for an HP server, and let's say that we're detecting a critical drive failure. There's a critical error on the primary partition where the OS is residing. So this disk has thrown a critical error inside of SCOM. SCOM can take and can be monitoring this. This alert can in turn be fed back to SCOM. SCOM can then interface with Pro. Pro can trigger an alert inside of VMM saying, whoa, something catastrophic is about to happen inside of my infrastructure. I want to trigger a live migration activity, and I want to move all of those VMs that we've got running here that are at risk before something happens. over to another Hyper-V host. That will all happen automatically for you based on these pro tips. The only problem is for those of you that are running commodity hardware and don't have SCOM management packs for your gear, sorry, this isn't going to work for you. This is only going to be on typically tier one gear that has management packs that are built and driven for System Center Operations Manager. But if you're looking at one of the real big value propositions of using Virtual Machine Manager, that one's pretty huge. And the good news is that for those of you that are going to be watching the call, probably about at least 80% of you I know are on HP servers, and I know a lot of you are actually already running System Center Operations Manager. So this is just basically hooking in the hardware MIBs, getting things set up, and then SCOM and VMM play very, very nicely together. All right, so just putting a little automation, turning your data center and putting and activating your AI, or as I like to call it, enabling Skynet inside of your infrastructure. Yes, it will happen automatically, and yes, all of a sudden we are no longer required and irrelevant because everything just looks after itself. Yeah, right. Still funny joke. Ha ha ha. All right, so let's go ahead and let's take a look at what the UI actually looks like here, because everything is just blank right now. I did want to have a blank palette for everybody, so you can see in here, nothing's configured, right? I click on the overview button, it's going to be blank as well, but this one's kind of a little bit cool because you can get a roll-up view of all the performance. So I can see what's happening across my farm, memory utilization, all these pieces, kind of cool. I click on the fabric window, and inside of fabric, this is where I can take and I can start to configure my servers, my infrastructure, my library servers. Windows updates can also be integrated with this. So your Windows update servers can integrate your cluster aware updating or just Windows updating. I can throw my servers into maintenance mode and such. I can take a look at the individual networks, services, port classifications. So check this out. When you build a network adapter, when we set it up with my script, these have built-in QoS settings. So for example, I want to have a live migration network. It actually has a port classification used for that virtual network adapter already set up for live migration, host clustering, iSCSI, high bandwidth, network load balancing. All these pieces are done, so that's kind of cool. The logical networks inside of here, these ones here are going to be taken and configured. We can take and configure our logical networks and our switches and some of these pieces. Now, some of these are going to show up as I add my hosts. So as I add my hosts in here, they already have virtual switches added because remember that we ran my NIC configuration script, which built all of that stuff out for us. So let's go ahead and do our first activity here. Our first activity is we want to build a data center object. So the first thing here, we're going to create a host group. Our host group is going to be called our prod data center. Could have a site location or something like that. And I normally create another one here if I've got DR data center. That way I can organize things between prod and DR. I don't typically want them in the same roll-up view. I can simply right-click on here now, and I can say add Hyper-V hosts or cluster. And I'm going to say next. And I have to create the first thing here is a run-as account that has credentials. So typically you want to have a delegated account. I'm the lazy administrator, guys. This is bad news. Don't do this in production. Use the full-blown domain administrator account because I know it's going to work. Let's help if I type my password right. I've got Clint's problem where I can't type my password and talk. If you ever watch one of Clint's videos, by the way, and the next time that he's on with us, somebody mention that. Say, how come you stop talking when you type your password? He can't type his password and talk. I find it amusing. He'll probably be mad that I told you guys that. Okay, so let's go figure out the nodes that we want to add. So I know for sure that I've got a couple standalone nodes, and these guys were called HV node 1, and I have HV node 2. HV node 2. And go ahead and click next. Back. Type O, HV node 2. Next. Okay, so I can see that I've got two nodes in there. So these were my two standalone servers. So I had two Hyper-V standalone servers that were running here. This is the beauty of 2016 and nested virtualization. I don't actually need physical hardware to demonstrate all of this. So this is kind of cool that I built all of this on just a standalone node, but I can emulate anything that we want to do. All right, where am I? I have about 7 minutes left for my demo, which is perfect because I'll be able to just get this stuff added in. Go ahead and click next. And this one here, remember guys, I told you that I had to, I wanted to reassociate this because I'd already deployed the agents. I went and I rolled these things back, so I'm going to reassociate. It's going to force the agent reinstall. Click next, click finish. And as that's going, let me just maximize this because I told you guys floor space is key with this particular guy here. I lost my screen. I want to maximize them. There we go. So see how they're in a status here of adding, and I don't have all the floor space yet. Now they came on as a status of OK, job status completed. If I come down to my jobs window, I can actually see the history of jobs that are running, critical failures, history, added with a little bit of information. It says if you want to use MPIO, it's not enabled, so it's giving us a warning. Not critical, not a big deal for the lab environment that I've got. Now, though, if I come back up to my VMs and services and I click on my overview, now this information is going to start to get populated as things are going to refresh. So you see how I've got my prod data center. Now I can see I've got two hosts, I've got four cores, I've got a certain amount of memory available, and as we start to build things, I've got a nice overview that's being built. And now I can take and actually click on these individual nodes, and I can get some drill downs and breakdowns that way as well. So if I click on my fabric view here, now we're going to want to add the cluster. Now I do forget what the cluster name is, so let's go ahead and let's just connect to my cluster node. It's called s2dcluster.mvpdays.com. All right. So let's go ahead and let's add that one in. Come back to my management console here. Maximize this again. Add my hosts and clusters. Now once you create the Run As account, guys, this is automatically going to be saved for you. Once it's saved, I can just type this in, s2dcluster.mvpdays.com. Next. Now, see how it actually found all four nodes in my cluster, and it's going to add all five objects into here. Choose the data center that you want it to go into, which we just created earlier. Click Next. Click Finish. And this is going to go ahead and add those two nodes. And you'll see the object will have changed here a little bit inside of Virtual Machine Manager. Now, I don't have too many VMs in here. I just had my Node 1 and Node 2 virtual machines that we're actually managing. And if I really wanted to, I could actually jump out to my host that we're running on itself, and I could add these two hosts inside of here into this Virtual Machine Manager server so we could see everything, the cloud in a cloud, so to speak. I just don't want to add anything onto my actual host servers. So it looks like the cluster's now been added. We can see our additional four nodes inside of here. All right, so you see all the individual nodes. I see my cluster itself. And if I come back to my VMs and services pane, this is what your interface starts to look like. Now, obviously, in your prod environments, you're going to see more cores and stuff like that. But you can actually drill down inside of those views, and you can actually go see what's going on, memory utilization, everything in a nice little roll-up view for you. If I click on these individual nodes, I can see what's actually happening inside of them. Coming back to my my virtual machine views under here, see how I have to change the view? Now if I click on my cluster, I can actually see everything that's running. Now it hasn't refreshed, so I know I have virtual machines that are running inside of here. So if I come back to jobs, I bet you there's still a job that's still probably running, and my VMs are just going to take a moment to actually show up in here. So if I take and come through here, and I refresh these guys, I know these S2Ds have stuff. And so, once again, nothing is real time inside of Virtual Machine Manager. So if I want this stuff to, you know, come back again here, I refresh here, and I'm waiting for the database tables to like rescan and update. Because if I actually come back to this box, and I come back to here, and I connect, and I come back to my roles, I know that I have two nodes that are actually running in here. So this is the drift that you start to see, guys, between your Virtual Machine Manager infrastructure and what's really happening in, you know, reality. See there, it just showed up. So this is a great case in point that nothing happens absolute real time inside of VMM. And this is why it's important that I taught you guys the way that I did, the underlying core infrastructure, to see what's going on. So nothing's broken. there's just timers inside of here that you have to wait for stuff to actually happen. And you can see inside of here too, I know I have two nodes. I have node 1 and node 2. So if I click in here, not all of these are actually finished updating yet. Okay. So when I'm inside of this cluster, I take node 3 that's here. Let's say that I need to do some maintenance on this and I want to drain this role off. Before, you would actually have to, in Hyper-V Manager or in Failover Cluster Manager, manually live migrate things. This is where the power of VMM starts to come in for you guys. I can actually start maintenance mode on this host, and then it's going to say, do you want to move all of these around? Do we want me to spread the load around for when I put this into maintenance mode? Sure. So I'm going to enable maintenance mode on that. I come down to jobs. Jobs is going to say starting maintenance mode. Maintenance mode is basically going to drain off all of those roles that we have that are running on here. And so you see where it says now under migration? And so what this is doing is this is going to actually live migrate and distribute the load across the other members depending on who the preferred owners are inside of the cluster. So the way that the jobs are queued up and stuff like that inside of here is a little bit different. So I see that my node 2 is now running on 4. If I actually click into my clustered view here on my prod data center, I would actually be able to see that one of these nodes is now in maintenance mode. So what happens when I go to create a new virtual machine, this will actually not let me create a virtual machine on node 3 because this box is now in maintenance mode. Let's say we rebooted, changed some hardware, something's happened. I can stop maintenance mode on here, and now this becomes another viable spot for me to take and put virtual machines. Now if I take and I click into my inside of my interface here, I see that, you know, I have a virtual switch. Do you guys remember how we created in my script virtual switch 01? So there's the virtual switch 01. And we can see that the network is actually fully compliant. So it's fully supported the way that I built this through PowerShell. So my preference has always been in standing up your Hyper-V host servers that, and I'm just really old school with this, and I've been building Hyper-V servers for a long time. I've got a couple people that are on the call here today that know the way that I build these servers is 100% bulletproof and solid. You take the core underlying host that you've got, you're going to lay down your operating system onto there, you're going to install your patches, then you're going to install your hypervisor, you're going to take and layer on your networking stack, you're going to get it all configured. If you have multiples of these, you're going to configure them inside of a cluster. So you're going to configure them all identically with all the PowerShell scripts that we've got. Form these into a cluster. Then you're going to take and you're going to join them into here. Okay? It's just old school. The job automation in here is very, very specific. There's hundreds of checkboxes that you have to check off to get this all working perfectly. And I've got a way that, you know, we could actually have all the infrastructure built and usable way before you have all of VMM configured. So if you see me kind of skimming over some of the pieces of VMM, it's because you're not necessarily going to need to use these on a daily basis. All right. So what we're going to do for the next session, now that we've actually got VMM deployed, we'll start looking at VMM jumping in and out of here as part of these sessions from day-to-day management. So as we're building a VM, as we're taking and doing live migration tasks and all the things that I've showed you already, will come into both interfaces. So for example, I want to leave you guys on one little note here. Let's take one of these virtual machines that I've got running inside of the infrastructure here. So if I take one of these virtual machines that's running inside of the infrastructure, let's say that it's node 1, for example, and I right-click on here and I say move. I want to migrate this virtual machine. And see how the UI and the wizard is a little differently here, and we kind of have a bit of a star rating that we have under the covers here. See how we have a few stars here. This guy here doesn't have all the stars. He's part of my cluster rating explanation. Not enough memory available. So for whatever reason, something hasn't been rescanned. It's going to say, oh, you're going to put yourself into a situation where you might be a little short there. All right? But it's because this hasn't fully refreshed, right? So if this doesn't showing what you want it to show, make sure you go refresh and rescan your hosts. So I'm going to start this live migration. We're going to go ahead and click move. But what we're going to do inside of here is I want to just show you how you can actually track this inside of Hyper-V Manager as well. Remember I told you the back-end components, right? So if I open up in another little window here, I open up my Hyper-V Manager, I connect to server, And I think, what node was that on that we were working on? Was that, let's see what node this was actually on. Was that on S2D node 4? Destination S2D node 2. So if I connect here, S2D node 2, connect, I can see the VM running here, full screen. I'm interested in this status right here, okay? So as I kick this job off, so I go ahead and I say move, job started, job's running, virtual machine migrating. So here's your actual status of what's really happening in Hyper-V, guys. And if I open my failover cluster manager, I'd see the same thing. You're still going to need to be going into Hyper-V Manager for core grassroots administration. This doesn't change. Disappeared. That's normal. It's part of a cluster. I moved that to node 4, S2D node 4. On S2D node 4, my VM shows up inside of here. Okay? All right, guys. We're going to wrap it up there. Unless anybody has any questions, I'll open it up. If you don't have any questions, just jump off the call. I'll end the recording here. Thanks, guys. Our next session's, I think, going to be at around 1 o'clock my time. Thank you once again for your valuable time joining the session, and hope you guys enjoyed. So we'll open it up here for questions.
I have a question.
Yep. Carl from Arizona, you're on the call.
Hello, caller. So you've just moved node 2 from one host to another using VMM.
Yeah.
So if you were to look on whatever the hell, they're both on your S2 node 4.
Yep.
If you look at the file structure for node 1, which was created by Hyper-V and never been touched by VMM.
Sure.
And then you look at the file structure of a VM that's been touched by VMM.
It's different.
Yes. Is that still going to happen in 2016?
Let's go look. Let's go look. Do.
And then in failover cluster MMC. Mm-hmm. Did VMM screw with the name of the VM in there too, the way it likes to do?
I don't think so, only if it creates it. So I think only if it actually creates the VM, it'll change the naming format. If it's a pre-existing VM that's on there, then no.
Because it keeps changing it on mine. It says resources for, and then the name of the VM after VMM touches it. Yeah.
Okay, let's go have a look. Which one? Move node 1 or node 2, Carl?
Both, because this is... Oh, interesting.
So it doesn't look like it's modified the structure of this one.
No. Okay. That's the new... Yeah, because with VMM 2012, it, you know that folder under the name of the VM, and it says virtual hard drives? Well, it puts the virtual hard drives right on the root.
Yeah, like I said, they've cleaned up a lot of stuff in 2016, right? I wasn't actually aware that was one of the changes, so that's cool. I learned something.
That is cool.
So check our roles. Did it mess with the names? It does not mess with the names. No.
Nice.
Yeah, and then for the automatic draining and stuff like that we would have, Carl, what we would want to do here is we would want to just set the preferred owners inside of here. And let's say that we didn't want these to overlap. We would say, okay, you two can run on these two. And then this guy here could take and run on these two. And now the live migration settings are going to be applicable underneath there. So.
Something to look forward to.
Yes. Yes. Any other questions?
No, just curious.
Now, I used, just so you know, Carl, I did use the SQL Server 2016 installer. I'm not sure what the earliest version of SQL you can install VMM 2016 on. I just grabbed latest and latest because I was building some of the stuff out last night, so I'd have something to demo here. So if you wanted to upgrade, you might have to just check your SQL Server version numbers to make sure that they're supported.
I'm not overly bothered by cutting the old ones off at the knee and just magically putting a new one in there.
Well, here's the deal.
At least not with the System Center products.
So here's the deal, is that normally with the System Center products, SQL Server licenses are included. So you don't have to pay for SQL Server anyways. So whatever version of SQL you're going to run to drive and run this, you don't pay extra licenses for SQL Server for VMM and these other pieces. So normally what I do is I'll actually put SQL Server right on the VMM server itself. And that's my preference because then everything is right there. Everything is bundled together. If I have to move that around, I don't have two artifacts that I have to move around with this. But that's your call as to having more SQL servers or not to manage on your network, right? So
That doesn't bother me. Yeah, especially SQL servers that if it blows up, you just recreate it again. You're not losing anything.
Well, it's just that one box, right? You're really fencing it off for just that one purpose.
And you take a backup of that VM once a month, and who cares if you lose, you know, half a month worth of stuff? It'll rebuild itself.
You're gonna lose job status information and maybe some template stuff. But in all honesty, or how often are you gonna be recreating new templates?
Probably not often.
Not that often. So, all right, man. We will see you this afternoon. Anything else?
Nope, that was all.
Okay, thanks. Cheers, guys.